Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Flashback Friday, everybody.
That's right, FBF, baby.
FBF as opposed to TBT, which is what we normally do.
That's what we used to call it.
But now we're FBFing, we're TBTing, we're FBFing.
It depends on how we're feeling. Are we going to do a Thursday or are we a little busy and we're going to do a Friday? It's a little busy this week, so here we are.
Maybe Tuesday at 6 o'clock. It'll drop.
I don't even know. We say that every week. What day of the week is
it? We don't know what it is. Hope you're doing well, everybody. Hey, first of all, if you missed us on trivia last Saturday, don't worry about it. But I will say you did miss the wonderful Kevin David Thomas doing what he does best, singing from the Golden Age.
We had a fun time. We had some 1950s action. It was really, really fun. I had a good time singing those songs.
We had a lovely time, folks. We're always so happy when you can come join us. And we hope you join us again next Saturday, not this Saturday, not tomorrow, but the weekend after, which I believe is the 12th. Is that right, folks? December. You tell us, folks. You let us know. December 12th at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will be doing trivia again. And this time, it's going to be the musicals of the 2000s. The aughts, I should be more specific. The aughts,
you can't
folks.
Stop the beat, folks. You're not going to be able to stop it. So
you... No, we're going to go through Hairspray, The Producers, Millie, a lot of good ones.
Spring Awakening will be there, I'm sure.
I would hope so.
What's that?
That's if we skip that one, you won't see me shedding a lot of tears. That's all.
I'm not going to lie to you. We keep opinions out of this podcast, but I've never been a big fan of that show. I hate to say it out loud. I think I missed the generation. Like, I was just a little too old when I saw the original. So I was like, what? It's, you guys, wait till you have to pay a mortgage. It's really going to get bad.
Did you like Rent? Were you a renter? But you were a Rent-head, right?
Loved Rent. But see, that was my generation. And I wonder if people maybe 15 years older than me was like, ugh, it's Rent. What are they complaining about? Those are real situations that were...
What do they know? That was a big complaint from a lot of people that saw Rent that were older at the time, which was like, why don't they get a job? If you read Michael Riedel's new book that just came out, which we talked about on, I think, a couple, maybe last podcast, was Singular Sensation. He talks some about that in how older people were like, get a job, you crazy kids.
Oh, it's like what they're saying to artists now that they're on COVID break.
Get a real job. Now that I'm done yelling at you, I'm going to go back to Facebook. And it's like, okay, all right, fine. All right. Angry people. We have angry people. But we're not angry, are we? We're very happy because today...
We're in the land of musical theater. We've got favorite things today.
Who wants to go first? I'm excited. You're excited?
You know what? I'll go first because mine is sort of a recapitulation on what we talked about on the trivia night, actually. I mentioned a book on trivia night that I was just in the middle of reading, and that's going to be my favorite thing this week, is this book that I had mentioned. I'm going to hold it up to you, Rob.
Settle in, folks.
It's called Broadway... to Main Street, how show tunes enchanted America.
This not changed America, enchanted America.
Enchanted America. And I must say, I found this book to be utterly enchanting.
What is this enchanting book about, Kevin?
Okay, I'm going to just read a little bit of the open cover just so I could explain it, but I think this is going to be much more efficient. The music of Broadway is one of America's most unique and popular calling cards. In Broadway to Main Street, how show tunes enchanted America, author Lawrence Maslin tells the story of how the most beloved songs of the American musical theater made their way from the theater district to living rooms across the country. It really goes through the history of the popular song and also, you know, through record sales and through sheet music. He goes to the very advent of what popular song, you know, listening was like at the turn of the century, how people, all of these songs were from Broadway shows, and that in Tin Pan Alley days, they were just pumping out songs, I mean, supply and demand. The demand was so huge that the supply could be just enormous with the songwriters. Now, not all songs were great, and you had just people in back offices just like pounding out show tunes to get sold onto the sheet music. So it catalogs the early days of that. And then going into the recorded song, how that changed Broadway, and how, and this is the thing that I really rocked me, Rob, was this notion that all of the record companies in the 40s, well, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and even a little bit to today. I mean, look at SpongeBob SquarePants was produced by a corporation, a Nickelodeon. I mean, they wanted to make their money. They all these Columbia, Sony, they all invested in the Broadway shows so they could have the score. So if I was opening in a, and I didn't know this, and I just found this so fascinating the way he tells it, that, you know, I could be this lead of some, you know, show that's coming to Broadway. Let's just say it's like Fanny or something, you know, and like not a big hit, but a show that was going to have a run by Harold Rome. All of the songs from my show would already been playing on the radio before my show even came to New York. I didn't know that. I just didn't realize that. And so a lot of these songs, the record companies were like fighting for these scores. So their way in was, well, I'll invest in the show and then I can have the score. So then there became this fight over all these people for the scores. And yet some of the scores were like not hits, you know, like Drat the Cat, not a hit. They still invested in the score thinking it might be, and then hoping that perhaps, you know, someone like Barbra Streisand might, you know, sing a song. She does, and then they can make a lot of money because of this one single. He also talks about Goddard Lieberson, Thomas Shepard, who was one of our previous guests, and he goes through the history of what the, you know, the impact that they had and the importance that they had on the cast album and keeping show music alive. He talks about Ed Sullivan, and then he brings it all the way up into the current day, talking how, like, the last time we had a chart on the Billboard charts, you know, cast album was Hair, that it ranked, you know, got up, and then four decades later is the next time that we have a cast album on the charts. And so the history of all of it just really is well explained and well described. Professor Maslin, because he teaches at NYU, he has, it's not just like, you know, there's a lot of pictures in this book, but one of the coolest parts about it, and I'm curious if more books are going to be like this going in the future, Rob, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, but you go to the first page and it says about the companion website. There's a companion website that provides more context and a musical landscape through which the reader can better understand the complex decisions at play during the cultural journey. Meaning, you know, a lot of, for instance, I didn't know Jackson 5 put out a single of Corner of the Sky. Never knew that. Didn't know that because Motown Records produced the Pippin cast album. It was the first time that they invested in a cast album. And of course, they're going to ask their roster of singers to cover the hits. So then you can go to the website that I had up on my phone the whole time I'm reading and click the title, and then you hear a clip of, you know, this Jackson 5 song. And then that's in the, gives you, you know, greater context of what's going on. Or it could be talking about the orchestrations, how, you know, the different versions of If He Walked Into My Life, you know, were produced. And so I think that's, there's a real, It doesn't read like a reference book at all. It definitely reads more like a Michael Riedel type book, if we may, you know, where he brings, you know, a narration to this. And as he's going in, you know, order, a chronological order in time, you really see where we are today, like how we got to Hamilton sort of breaking through and how special that was, because you see the history and context of, you know, how hard it was to make these songs popular by pop singers, and how the industry almost died because after, you know, Little Night Music, the 70s, nobody wanted to sing those kinds of songs anymore. And he really takes you on that journey of how it's sort of come full circle with that Hamilton mixtape album that came out with all the pop singers covering it and how that became a big hit. So I learned a lot. I had a great time reading it. And I think you listeners, I think you would really, really, really enjoy this, especially if you're a cast album collector. You like your cast albums. This is a very sleek book. Oxford Press put it out. It's really, really well done. And I can't speak enough about it. So thank you, Lawrence Maslin, and A Broadway to Main Street, How Show Tunes Enchanted America. Check it out. It's a great book.
I love how enchanted that is. That sounds so fancy.
I was really into it. I really dug it. I had a great time reading it. Yeah, I recommend it to you too, my friend.
You're right. It's an absolutely fantastic book. And yeah, I have seen a lot of those things where mostly in textbooks where there is a supplemental website where you can go and get more information. But Larry's book, I think, is one of the first I've seen that are popular, you know, that are not textbook related, that does it.
Right.
And he does it really well. We talked about this on the last pod on the trivia evening that we did on Saturday. And one of the things that we had mentioned is the person that runs the theater company with me, Spotlight Theater Company, is Jim Jamiro, who's one of the foremost experts on the American popular song, specifically in the golden age of this era, which is something that Lawrence talks about a lot. And Jim is giving a lecture, and we'll post this on our Instagram and Facebook, but I would encourage you all to go. It's really, really interesting. It's called Jim's Jukebox. It's going to be December 9th, which is a Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you're on the East Coast, obviously that's 9 o'clock, and we'll show you a graphic on how you can go and sign up and take the class. It's free. What could be better than that? And Jim is a really engaging lecturer and a lot of interesting stuff. If you like Lawrence's book, you're going to really love Jim's lecture. So please, please go attend that after you read Lawrence's amazing book. Fantastic.
Fantastic. I'll check that out. Rob, favorite thing?
Well, I do have a favorite thing, Kevin. I'm so happy you asked. It is December. That means you really can't get out and exercise. It's, you know, we've been quarantined for so long. I think we've all put on the quarantine 19, as the kids call it. And I decided, well, it's probably about time to, like, you know, lose some of the winter weight. But how to do that in a way that I can only do it in my home. And so I started doing some research to see if there were any, like, you know, online workout videos that I could find. And of course, it took me down a rabbit hole. And I'm pleased to announce, Kevin, that my favorite thing for the entire month of December is going to be a theme. Every favorite thing in December that we will talk about will all be unified by weight loss and exercise. It's going to be random, various musical theater exercises and exercise workout videos that I have encountered in my quest to be a healthier, better person.
I am so impressed. By the way, I just want to say I'm so impressed that you've gone down that rabbit hole and you've found that as a way to exercise the old heart and get it going. You know,
well,
I didn't even think that you could go there. I'll look on YouTube for workout, you know,
well, you know,
that are Broadway themed.
I will be honest. I will watch them while eating ice cream, so I'm not really doing what they're asking for. But I have decided that in the week, I will actually do the exercises of one of the videos and to see which one sticks. And so I did this first workout routine. Folks, if you've never seen this before, I encourage you to watch. You can click the link in our description. You can watch the sizzle reel of it. If you've got an hour and a half, you can watch the whole thing. Folks, in 1983, we're going to go back a little bit. We were at the height of the workout craze, specifically Jane Fonda. If we all remember Jane Fonda and her workout videos, I'm sure. Did your mom have one of those, Kevin? Did she have a...
I remember exactly where I was in my living room watching my mom work out to those videos
okay.
as a kid. I can remember the move that she had to do. I remember all of it. Yeah. Jazzercise, too.
Jazzercise was a big one. So if you remember at this era, folks, Jane Fonda not only changed people's lives through healthy workouts, she also made a million, millions and millions of dollars for herself. And every other celebrity saw this and sort of just jumped on the bandwagon. So we're going to 1983, folks, for our first week. And we're going to go to a wonderful musical theater star. She's also a fantastic movie star as well. And that is the incredible Debbie Reynolds. And my favorite thing for this week is 1983's Do It Debbie's Way. Do it Debbie's way. So, folks, here's what Debbie Reynolds does in this amazing, amazing workout video. First of all, there's no, like, living room set or a gym set. It's like an MGM studio. It looks like Pepto-Bismol threw up all over the walls. It's pink, sheer curtains and carpeting with chandeliers and columns. It makes no sense. She comes out wearing a lovely form-fitting unitard with a nice belt in the middle to cinch the waist, which is very, very classic. But Debbie's not doing it alone. No, you can't do Debbie's way alone. You have to do Debbie's way with people. And the tape is broken up into three segments, and each segment features Debbie working out with various celebrities. Sometimes Terry Garr will pop up, or sometimes Rosemary will pop up. And if you don't know who any of these names are, don't worry. Go to Cosmic Diner. Find the guys arguing about who was the best Sally in Follies. They can explain it to you. But the best part, honestly, folks, is the first segment, because she has the great musical theater star of Minnie's Boys, Shelley Winters, working out with her. Now, if you don't know Shelley Winters, she was one of the most incredible actresses that ever lived. She played Roseanne's grandma, if you were a Roseanne fan. But she also was like in The Diary of Anne Frank. I believe she won two Academy Awards. She's in The Poseidon Adventure. She's an incredible performer who just lived by her own rules and will not work out at all in the video. She just lays in the back with a sweatshirt that says, "I'm only doing it for Debbie." And will like make fun of people and make fun of exercises. And at one point she goes, "Are your rolls supposed to hurt?" And then at one point, when Debbie Reynolds is explaining a workout, she just says over her full voice, "Are you the only blonde Marlon Brando ever went with?" And then while all the girls are stretching, out of nowhere, Shelley Winters goes, "I have a game. Who here slept with Howard Hughes?"
You're lying.
No, no, no. You can watch this. And you see about three hands pop up amongst the group. Now, it is reckless. Debbie Reynolds, it's the most honest workout video ever, because all she keeps saying is she hates exercise. She goes, "I hate exercise." And at one point, after a very strenuous activity, she goes, "If I only had a hit record, I wouldn't have to do this." And you're like, good for you. So I find it to be the most honest, brutal, brilliant, hysterical workout video. You will burn calories just simply by laughing at this.
I was going to say, did you break a sweat? Did you?
I broke a sweat
laughing. Workout?
Now, here's the thing, folks. I can't figure this out. I have heard this story, and if somebody can confirm this for me, I would greatly appreciate it. Apparently, when they were filming it, all these women were drunk, is what I have heard. What happened was, as I understand it, was Debbie got all of these people together to be in the video. And the day before the video, she's like, "Oh my God, we've never worked out together and we should probably like rehearse this and go over it." So they all went over to Debbie Reynolds' house. It was her, Rosemary, Dionne Warwick, Terry Garr. Once again, go to Cosmic Diner. The booth will tell you. And that they like were all like, "Okay, we have to work out. We have to be serious." And somehow Shelley Winters found the key to the liquor cabinet. Mm-hmm. And was like, "Who wants drinks?" Mm-hmm. And they just got shit-faced. And they never worked out. And then the next morning, they're like, "Well, we have to film this. We have to go through with it." So if you watch it with that lens, they look a little wasted. They look a little hungover. They look confused. Debbie Reynolds, especially, God bless her, in her opening introduction, looks like she's just woken up. Looks beautiful, but looks like emotionally and mentally that she's just woken up. So I think they sweat the liquor out. So once again, folks, mine for this is do it Debbie's way. It's from 1983. You will not be disappointed. You will break a sweat laughing, if nothing else. So thank you, Debbie. That's my favorite thing for this week. And then next week, I'll have another celebrity workout video.
Oh, I can't wait to get to Positive Moves by Angela Lansbury. I can't wait to get that one.
That's a good cool down. I think that's a really good cool
It's
down.
Really, if you want to get in touch with yourself, literally.
Yes, folks, if you have to get in touch with yourself, that's the best thing to watch.
This is a great theme. I'm excited for this, Rob. This is fantastic. Good for you. I'm so impressed.
Yeah. I will give everybody a clue to what next week's will be, if I can.
Ooh.
I'm going to give you a hint.
Yes, please.
The same person that, quote-unquote, directed this Debbie Reynolds video will be the director and choreographer next week's video.
Get ready, folks.
Because next week's video, I was like, what am I watching? What in God's name am I watching? But we'll talk about that next week. All right. That's mine.
Can't wait.
So mine is do it Debbie's way.
minus Broadway to Main Street, House Show Tunes, Enchanted America. Pick, you know, you're going to have a real tough pick today this week, so have fun.
It's a Sophie's choice, really.
Work out. That's
right. It's a Sophie's choice for everybody. All right, folks, we'll see you next time. Take care. Stay safe.
Folks.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.